Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.
It is quarterback time at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Ed Valentine of Big Blue View here with your Valentine's Views podcast for Friday. Please like, share, and subscribe if you're watching us on YouTube, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts across the Big Blue View radio network. All right, quarterbacks take center stage on Friday at the NFL Combine. Quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs will take to the podiums on Friday to speak to media. So Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, Spencer Rattler, all of those guys will be front and center on Friday as business will pick up in the Indiana Convention Center with sessions with all of those guys. We'll also be hearing from the top wide receivers, guys who might be who the Giants might be interested in. Malik Nabers of LSU is a guy who is always talked about as a potential pick for the Giants at number six. The other wide receiver often connected to the Giants at number six is Romo Dunze of Washington. So both of those guys will be at the podiums on Friday. I'll be there Friday morning. I'll have as much as I can for you on all of the goings on Friday. To be honest, I'm getting on a plane on Friday afternoon and heading home, so I'm not sure how much writing I'll be able to do on Friday. But if I don't get to some of my thoughts and impressions on Friday, you can read those on Big Blue View over the weekend as I do the best I can to take the measure of as many of the quarterbacks, as many of the wide receivers, perhaps some of the running backs. We'll see how the morning unfolds. Do what I can to get to as many of those spots as I can. All right, as you guys know, on-field workouts also began in Lucas Oil Stadium on Thursday. Defensive linemen, linebackers took the field. Chris Flum, Nick Filato will have full coverage of those on-field workouts for you guys at Big Blue View. What I wanted to do today, before we get into all of that coverage of all of the on-field work and before we hear from the quarterbacks on Friday in Indianapolis, had a chance to speak with former Big Blue View contributor Dan Pizzuta, who is now a staff writer at the 33rd team. Dan recently did a really nice piece on quarterbacks and what NFL teams are trying to look for in quarterbacks as they come into the NFL. Really good time for that. Dan had the opportunity to talk to several coaches and GMs this week as those guys all took to the podium, you know, regarding quarterbacks and the changing way that NFL teams have to evaluate and develop quarterbacks as they enter the NFL in what is really a changing college landscape as well. So let's play the interview that I did with Dan Pizzuta right now as we talk about the old days at Big Blue View. We talk about the Giants a little bit, and we spend quite a bit of time talking about the NFL teams and their ability and sometimes lack of ability to judge, to scout, and to develop quarterbacks.
This message comes from Apple Card. Earn up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase every day. then grow it at 4.50% annual percentage yield when you open a savings account with Apple Card. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card subject to credit approval. Savings available to Apple Card owners subject to eligibility. Savings accounts provided by Goldman Sachs Bank USA. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, Giants fans, Ed Valentine here at the NFL Scouting Combine. And ran into an old friend, an old contributor from Big Blue View, a guy that some of you might remember, Dan Pizzuta, who was a writer for us for quite a while before moving on. Had a chance to catch up with Dan, and so let's Dan agreed to sit and chat with us for a little bit. So let's do that. Hey, Dan, how you been? How you doing?
I'm doing well. Happy to be back.
There you go. So, you know, it's been a while, been a winding path for you since the Big Blue View days.
Yeah, it has a little bit.
So before we get into a whole lot of football, why don't you just tell folks, in case they're not familiar with where you are and what you've been up to, what the writing path has taken you, where it's taken you since your Big Blue View days.
Yeah, so when I left Big Blue View, I went to take over Sharp Football Analysis, and we kind of built a website there, doing some, you know, good stuff there. Rich Rebar was doing some great fantasy stuff, doing some stuff with Football Outsiders with some of the Almanac, doing some stuff with FTN now, doing their DVOA page at the 33rd team, doing some writing for them now.
Yeah, 33rd team is the most recent addition for you. When did you start over there?
About the middle of this season.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you're doing not necessarily long-form stuff, but analysis stuff, deep dives into topics and things like that. And considering where the Giants are these days, let's talk about the most recent piece that you did at 33rd Team, and that happened to be on quarterbacks. You've spent some time, you know, talking to coaches and GMs this week about judging quarterback play and figuring out, you know, who can and who can't be an NFL quarterback. And that's a huge mystery in the NFL. Mm-hmm. There's more hits or there's more misses than
more
hits.
More misses, yeah.
You know, I think it's like 30% of these guys actually succeed when it comes to the what you would expect from a first-round quarterback. And I'm just curious what you maybe learned from the coaches, from the GMs, in regards to quarterback play.
So I think it was something that is kind of being more openly embraced now, is looking at the traits and how hard it is to really take a look at what these guys are being asked to do at the collegiate level is so much different than what they're going to be asked to do at the NFL with their systems, just kind of the way they process. And I think a lot of people are kind of looking at the process, and you know, you try to find these quick processors, but how you do that is so different, especially now between college and the NFL, with so many more, you know, RPOs and screens and the way just the spacing is in college. So it's very hard to really look at those guys and kind of what they're really asked to do in the way they're reading progressions and things like that. So I think we're seeing more coaches, especially, who have talked just more openly talking about the traits and seeing what these guys can do. And how you can kind of mold that to an NFL game instead of really trying to get the mental. You can get that a little bit, but I think we're kind of really looking at some of these traits guys. And I think like Anthony Richardson last year was a real good example of a guy who, you know, you kind of look at some of his college stuff and it wasn't as clean as some of those other guys, but you saw the traits, you saw how he navigated the pocket, and it's things like that that I think are going to translate, and a lot more coaches who are kind of, you know, the forward-thinking offensive guys are really going to be able to build an offense around that type of quarterback more than like a Kenny Pickett type of guy who was, you know, built as a stand in the pocket, process quickly, and we've kind of seen that hasn't happened in the NFL without some of the physical tools that kind of decrease the margin for error a little bit to help these guys get situated in the beginning.
It's so different how the offenses are somewhat different in college. The hash marks are different,
yeah,
which changes the throws that you have to make. I've seen guys like former NFL quarterback Kurt Benkert, who's doing a lot of NFL analysis of quarterbacks now, say that it's just hard to watch college offenses because the work done by the wide receivers just isn't what you'd get at the NFL level. And
and
even Kurt Warner said the other day, you know, Hall of Fame quarterback, guy that should know quarterback play as well, if not better than anybody, say that really as he watches these college quarterbacks, the more he watches, the more confused he gets because he just can't figure out how what he sees translates to what they're going to be asked to do in the NFL.
Yeah, it's a very different process of what some of these offensive schemes really are, and what the quarterback is asked to do in there. So I think even when you look at, you know, Caleb Williams, you kind of look at what the USC offense was last year, and it was not really translatable to what he's going to be asked to do at the NFL level, but you see what he can do kind of outside of structure, the way he can kind of create plays on his own. I think that's something that is going to continue to be something that becomes, it probably won't be the top trait that teams are looking at, but I think it's going to be kind of an important one that you almost have to have at this point. If you're a quarterback, you have to be able to create off schedule, and those are the type of things that are going to help you survive in the NFL.
But, you know, the flip side of that is you still do have to be able to play from within the pocket at times. You have to be able to throw the ball on time. You have to be able to throw the ball where it's supposed to be. And just, I think, because of the way NFL offenses or college offenses are now, it's hard to find those guys who can do that.
Yeah, I think that's always going to be a baseline. I think there was a while where you really looked for what these guys can do in the pocket. But I think that's just kind of, everyone needs to do that a little bit. And if you can't do that at the college level, it's going to be very hard for you to do that at the NFL level too. But I think we've seen kind of the differentiators, and the guys who really make a difference are the guys who can expand outside of that. And I think that's kind of been an important, how you're navigating the pocket, like how, I think one of the stats that translates the most is like pressure to sack rate. So you can't really control how often you're getting pressured, but if you're navigating the pocket well, you're stopping negative plays from being worse. And I think we were, like, Anthony Richardson again was a guy who, you know, maybe the completion percentage wasn't great, but you saw how he navigated the pocket, and I think we kind of saw that a little bit in the time he played last year. I think, like, that is, those are the types of things where yes, it's non-negotiable to be able to play from the pocket. Everyone has to do that, I think we've seen the best quarterbacks in the league right now are the guys who can expand that a little bit.
And not to mention the idea of being able to make some plays with your legs and being able
right,
to
exactly.
be part of the designed run game in addition to the off-script run game as you learn to do the other things. I think that is becoming increasingly important.
Yeah, and you know, John Harbaugh was talking about this yesterday about how kind of the archetype of an NFL quarterback has really changed and how people view who can play the position. Because I was writing for Big Blue View during the Lamar Jackson draft, and I was saying how that could change the way quarterback we played. I believe said Lamar Jackson could be like drafting Sam Darnold and Saquon Barkley with the same pick. I think that it turns out that probably underestimated what Lamar Jackson could be with kind of how Darnold turned out, at least. But I think we're seeing more acceptance of that league-wide and seeing more athletes and how that can building something outside of just, you know, three-step drop back and pass is something that is almost a necessity to really have success, at least at the highest level of when you look at the guys like Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and the guys who are really transcending the quarterback position right now.
And so much of it for quarterbacks, I mean, for every position, but especially for quarterback, so much of it is also about the situation that they land mm-hmm. in, the coach that they land with, the stability of the organization they land in. Is it a forward-thinking offensive coordinator or right. offensive coach? Because the worst thing that happens to a lot of these guys is they get drafted and then a year later they have a different coach.
Right, and I think that is one of the things that really struck me yesterday and what kind of led to writing the article is how many of these coaches were really outwardly expressing this kind of for the first time of how we can take some of these traits-based guys and mold them a little bit. And I think we're going to see far fewer of these offensive coaches who don't know what to do with these guys, because I think that was a problem for a little bit. Like when the Lamar Jacksons were coming into the league, you know, you had coaches who thought about, you know, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning for a very long time. And I just don't think we're going to get back to that type of quarterback play anymore. So I think teams really know now what the evolution of that position is.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing when I think about the Giants too, and I think about all the way back to the Coughlin days. I always thought that one of the reasons why, after the second Super Bowl for the Giants, one of the reasons why things sort of fell apart was you had a very old school head coach, you had a very old school offensive coordinator, but you had a general manager, you know, who was a scout at heart, and I think you had a general manager who wanted to kind of move the Giants forward in the way that they thought and was drafting players that the coaching staff didn't necessarily know how to maximize.
Right.
And I think that's a big part of it with quarterbacks now is you have to be able to look and say, what are these guys? Too many coaches have always said it's about players, or it's about players and not plays. It's about putting guys in position to do what they yeah. do well. And I don't know about you, but for a long time in the NFL, I've thought there was a lot of lip service to that idea.
Sure.
And I think now it's becoming increasingly important that that's not lip service.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think we are seeing this wave of especially offensive coaches who are coming in. You see Mike McDaniel has kind of figured out how to make the best out of not only, you know, Tua, but protect that offensive line a little bit with getting the ball out so quickly to receivers who can run fast. I think you look at, you know, like a Kevin O'Connell who was able to kind of change up, you know, from when Kirk Cousins got hurt to like really basically playing quarterback for Josh Dobbs. I think we've seen that, guys. I think we, you know, you see with like a McVay, how he used the Jared Goff offense and then completely translated it and changed it to a drop back game with Matthew Stafford and then continued to change it up even more this year. So I think we're just seeing, you can't be complacent. You can't be fitting these, you know, square pegs into round holes. And I think we do have fewer coaches in the league right now who are doing that. And I think that's good for player development. Hopefully that's going to be good for quarterback development. And I think it definitely has been good for, you know, offensive efficiency going forward.
So I'm curious, you know, after talking to the folks that you've had a chance to talk to this week, and in your own look at the quarterback class this year, you know, we talk about the trait-based guys, and you've mentioned Anthony Richardson a couple times. Mm-hmm. When you look at those guys, you know, beyond Caleb Williams, mm-hmm. because if we're talking specifically about the Giants aren't trading up to one.
Right.
So when you look at those traits-based guys, you know, who's your guy out of this quarterback class that you say, you know, you can take those traits and mold them into something that maybe the guy isn't right now.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's not the deepest class to be doing that. I think, you know, Caleb should be a guy who can do that. I think Drake May is the type of guy who does kind of have that good outer structure. And I think, you know, the interesting thing is Jaden Daniels is, you know, routinely the third quarterback here. And he's an interesting thing in the balance between playing out of structure often and excelling at the creating out of structure. Because, you know, he's a guy who he kind of runs to run a little bit, and not necessarily a run to pass or, you know, create in that way. So I think the team that gets him is really going to have to understand what he is and maybe rein him in a little bit more than, you know, I think people think you have to kind of rein in like a Caleb Williams with some of his crazy throws. But I think those are more of a benefit, you know, when it comes to creating in the offense. But when you have a guy like, you know, Jaden Daniels is kind of looking to run a little more often than some of these other guys, he's kind of the interesting borderline case where he is out of structure a lot, but that doesn't necessarily actually have some of those traits that are, you know, that you're really looking for. So I think he's going to be a little more developmental than, and maybe kind of on the Justin Fields type of thing where, you know, the running is going to set a baseline a little bit, but there's a little more progression that needs to be happening in the passing game too.
Right. I think Daniels is the guy that you look at and you set, when you watch the film, you'll say he ran, but he left this throw on the table that he could have made.
Right.
That he probably should have made to avoid the wear and tear on his legs, to avoid taking the hit or whatever. He's the one, and you hope maybe that as he gains more experience that you coach that out of him by consistently saying, you ran for 8, but you had a throw over here for 12. If you'd have just followed your progressions or whatever.
And that's going to be a thing where, you know, the coaching staff is obviously going to matter. The offensive line is going to matter, and how you kind of balance that. You know, if you're asking him to just do some straight dropbacks behind a bad offensive line, that's not going to help the development of what he's doing, and he's probably going to be looking to scramble if he's expecting pressure like that. So I think that's just one of those things where all of those things are going to just combine, and, you know, the like you said, the players on the offense are going to matter. How the offensive staff is going to build an offense around him is going to matter. So I think he is very, you know, fun physical talent, but he is, I think, one of those guys that is going to, it's really going to depend on where he lands and the vision that whatever team drafts him really has for him is going to, I think, more than like the other top two guys, are really going to depend on, you know, how his NFL career turns out.
So let's have you put your Giants hat on for a minute or two here. Yeah. Obviously, the Giants are at 6. A lot of talk about quarterback, a lot of talk about Daniel Jones, a lot of talk about, everybody's got an opinion on, should they trade up, should they take a guy at 6, do they need to have that, you know, that successor, is it time for them to put that guy in place? I'm just curious where you stand on that idea.
So I lean toward being aggressive to take a quarterback, but it also does depend on who is there and I think what that cost is. I do have trust that, you know, a Brian Daboll offense would be something that could help a Jaden Daniels, and maybe even, you know, sitting a little bit behind Jones, depending on what that is. But I think it's very hard to consistently win in the NFL when you do have a quarterback like Daniel Jones. And I think the 2022 offense was structured incredible to stop Jones from kind of doing the bad things that he tends to do. You know, when he entered the league, he loved to throw these, you know, contested slants that were, could have been an interception, but were a lot of passes defensed on those types of, you know, tight window throws. But in 2022, they had him outside the pocket, which stopped him from taking sacks. They had him throwing the shortest passes in the league, which stopped him from throwing interceptions. Like, if he had a bad season in 2022, like, it really would have been a bad thing for him, because they really designed it in a way that he couldn't. And I think they took some of those training wheels off a little bit last year, and I think we saw some of those struggles. So if the Giants feel good about one of those quarterbacks who could be available at three, if that's the potential to trade up, I think they should do it, because I think you kind of need that higher level of quarterback play if you really do want to succeed in the NFL.
Yeah, I think where I stand on it is a little different than where you stand. I look at it as Jones entering the sixth year of his career, and we still argue about what he is and what he isn't and what he might be and what he might not be and the reasons for all of those things. And I say, look, it's year six. He's in the final year of his contract where he's got guaranteed money.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to just stop arguing about all of those things. And if you're in position to take a guy you think might be able to be the next guy, then you do it. But where I differ is I don't think you can trade up if you're the Giants, for the simple reason that there's also some pressure on Brian Daboll in year three. And if you were to trade up in the scenario that you just described, whether it's Drake May or whether it's Jaden Daniels, the plan is still for Daniel Jones to be the starter. So you're trading up to number three for a guy who's not going to be your starting quarterback at the beginning of the season. And then when you trade up, you're probably giving up enough assets that you go from three to 70 in the draft before you get to pick again. And I don't know about you, but that's a very difficult scenario for me to stomach.
Yeah, it is. But if you have the quarterback, that doesn't matter quite as much. Mm-hmm. So again, I think it does come down to the conviction of what you have in this quarterback, and if you trust that is going to be the guy, and if he is, then, you know, maybe he takes over in the middle of the year, maybe he even, you know, starts the year if they do think he's that good. So it's a balance, and I think it does depend on, you know, what they think of this guy or whoever they would potentially trade up to draft. If they do have, you know, the conviction that he can be the guy, that layers over, you know, so many things. I think you kind of look at, you know, what the Texans did with C.J. Stroud. You know, they trade up for, you know, Will Anderson, but they don't have a first-round pick this year because of that. But because they have C.J. Stroud, it doesn't really matter as much. We're not really talking about how they don't have a first-round pick. They're kind of set. And I think, you know, you see that with some other, you know, quarterbacks who kind of, when you have that guy, he makes up for a lot of other, you know, things that other teams like would need right now. The Giants, as currently constructed, they do need those early picks. But if you have that quarterback, I think that kind of lessens some of the need that you have for some of those other things.
All right. Hey, and appreciate the time. Just in case folks don't know, let them know where they can find you on social media and all that good stuff.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Dan Pizzuta. My work at the 33rd team.
All right. Thank you much. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Giants fans, that is our show for today. Thanks to Dan Pizzuta for sitting in the Indiana Convention Center with me for a little while on Thursday afternoon and reminiscing about Big Blue View and talking quarterbacks and all of that. And thank you guys, as always, for listening. Please continue to check out all of our Combine coverage. Chris Flum, Nick Filato will be continuing to give you as much detail as we can on the on-field workouts. I'll have more features and analysis over the weekend and in the coming days on the quarterbacks, on the wide receivers. Had a nice conversation on Thursday with Michigan tight end A.J. Barner, who had some interesting thoughts as well on quarterback J.J. McCarthy that I'll share with you guys as soon as I get the opportunity to sit down and write all of that. So hopefully you guys will look forward to all of our coverage and all of our coverage at Big Blue View throughout the offseason, leading up to the draft, leading up to the offseason program, training camp, all of that, as we continue to give you everything you need to stay up to date, to stay in tune with your New York Giants. With that said, Giants fans, thank you very, very much for listening. Please stay safe out there. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.